Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
B. Mitchell Finley, High Noon in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. I'm fired up, man, to get to the Rude Guest Hotline and talk to old friend here, Rob Doster. Doster, it's been a while since we were doing hits for regional sports networks and college basketball talk.
Yeah, man, it's been a long time. I saw your name pop up and I was like, oh yeah, this is a throwback, man. It's good to catch up with you guys. How's everything going? There's a little drama down there in your way.
Yeah. Just a bit, man. What's funny, dude, is when we used to do those TV segments with you, you worked, I guess.
It's JP.
Exactly. Apparently, you can get rid of Kevin Willard, though. What the hell do you make? So, for those that don't know, you can find Doster at the Field of 68. Awesome podcast. Like, you guys have built something there that is awesome. Follow him at Rob Doster, D-A-U-S-T-E-R. I don't know if you know this, but I listen to Pardon My Take pretty regularly, and Big Cat is talking about Field of 68 all the time. Stanford Steve, I listen to SV Pod. Stanford Steve's talking about Field of 68 all the time. I think the true hoopheads are all in on your work, so congratulations on that, man.
Well, I appreciate that, man. Really, it's a labor of love to start, but when you find that kind of niche, you know, the way I've always told people is you got to own small, right?
Right.
You got to find something small, find your area of expertise, and just absolutely own it. And once you do that, if you put in the work, and you know, you show people that you actually care about it, people buy in. So I do appreciate that.
That's great. Now, let's get to the mess that is the University of Maryland and Kevin Willard. When did you first hear that this Nova thing was possible, and kind of where is everything right now?
It feels like it's been swirling for like a week and a half now, right? It feels like this has been just something that we've kind of been waiting to happen, and waiting for maybe Maryland's season to end, and waiting for somebody to be able to make something official. I think that, you know, it might have been quite a bit less awkward if Derek Queen had not made that buzzer-beating shot against Colorado State on Sunday, because this process probably could have gotten started a little bit sooner. But everything that I've heard is that Villanova's made a very sizable offer. They are one of these Big East programs that doesn't really have to worry about football. They can spend much more of their NIL capital and their rev share percentage on hoops. And look, it's a program that's won two of the last seven national titles. They've been to three of the last seven Final Fours. And there's still a level of pedigree there that I don't think people have forgotten, right? I think that playing in the Big East is probably a little bit more manageable than playing in the Big Ten right now. You don't have to travel to LA, once a season. And you're in a conference that doesn't have 18 teams and doesn't have Indiana and Michigan and Michigan State and Wisconsin and Purdue and all of these teams at the top that are going to be competing for championships. Like, the Big East right now kind of is UConn and Creighton and Marquette and St. John's, and all of those teams are in a state of flux, I think, right now is probably the best way to phrase it. So if you get in there and you got the money to spend at Villanova, I understand why it's appealing. I also understand why Maryland fans would be livid at Kevin Willard right now. Like, this has been a memorable season where it feels like they've kind of rejuvenated the excitement around Maryland basketball in that area. The passion's always there. The product on the floor has not always been up to the standards that are expected by that fan base. So I think that there's a level, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong here, but it feels like there's a level of bitterness there. That's like, how are you going to come down here for 2 years? You're going to lead us to the season, and then before it even ends, you're going to be looking for somewhere else, and you're going to torpedo what could have been a memorable Final Four kind of a run because you got an offer from somebody else. It just feels like that's not the right way to go about doing that, and I think that's how Maryland fans probably feel right now. Am I correct in that assumption?
Yeah, I think for most people out here, it's not the issue of him leaving. It's how he went about this, airing out the dirty laundry beforehand with the AD and all the craziness, and then coming out last night saying, well, I haven't talked to my wife or agent, and so I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah, right. Like, you know what's going on behind the scenes, whether you've agreed to something yet or not. You kind of know what's going on. The question I got for you, Rob, is we all assume that he's gone. I don't think a majority of Maryland fans would even want him back if something were to fall through with the Villanova job. What are the candidates? We're hearing Buzz Williams. Is that something that's real? Is it someone that you're going to go out
Sarunas and get? Sarunas Jasikevicius.
That's who JP sold on, bring it over from Fenerbahce in Europe. Is it a potential Dwayne Simpkins, Tony Skin? Like, who are some of the options?
Let's start on just Buzz. Buzz Williams, where is this coming from?
Buzz is trying to get out of Texas A&M. Buzz has tried to get pretty much every single job that has been open during the cycle. I think he tried to get his name in at Texas. He tried to get his name in at NC State. He tried to get his name in at Xavier. And now he's trying to get his name in at Maryland. Buzz is a guy where when you bring him in, there's going to be a slow build that ends up peaking with a team that is good enough to be able to make a Sweet 16 and potentially get to a Final Four, right? We've seen it at every single one of his stops. He did it at Marquette. He did it at Virginia Tech. And now he's done it at Texas A&M. Buzz is also a guy that can wear on you. He is not, let's just say, the easiest coworker. He's probably not going to be the easiest employee, and he's probably not going to be a very good boss. I don't know if players love playing for him as much as they love what they get out of playing for him, if that makes sense. So if you bring him in, you know you're going to win some games. He's going to bring a little bit of excitement bring a little bit of buzz to the program, right? But you also got to know that this is not a 15-year plan if you're bringing Buzz Williams in. It's a 5-year plan. He's going to wear out his welcome, and then he's going to try to get on and find the next job, which is exactly what he did at Virginia Tech. It's exactly what he did at Marquette, and it's exactly what he's doing right now at Texas A&M. And I don't necessarily think that that's the worst thing. Like, the part of this that's really difficult right now for the Maryland program, and why I think that they are actually going to try to keep Kevin Willard, and they should try to keep Kevin Willard right now, is that you're kind of late in the cycle. Anyone that you bring on is not going to be a name that has the kind of pop that you would want, given the way that this thing played out, right? And you're probably going to have to be rebuilding a roster more or less from scratch. So if you lose all of these guys, and you're already starting from behind, and you still have to go make that hire, it just feels like you're starting from the bottom. And if you can get Buzz, who can, you know, get this thing going relatively quickly, right? Like, that makes some sense. Personally, I'm looking right down the road in Fairfax, right? Like, why would you go away from a guy like Tony Skin? You know, he's been at Maryland. He's from the area. He knows how to recruit the area. He just proved that he could win and turn things around pretty quickly. You know, doing what he did at George Mason this year is no small feat. I watched when they played at Marquette earlier this year. They were down by 3 with like 3 minutes left in that game. Like, he could coach. He's going to find a way to be able to win, and he's from that area. He does not feel like a guy that would up and leave at the first opportunity just because something came along with a bigger NIL payroll. So I think that's where I would probably look. He just signed an extension, but all extensions mean is that you just got to pay a little bit more money for the buyout.
Right. How done is Willard to Villanova?
I mean, I'll phrase it like this. Last night in his press conference, he said, I haven't talked to my agent. I haven't talked to my wife. I don't know anything. If you go back and listen to the 2023 press conference that he had at the end of the Seton Hall season when they lost by 27 in the first round of the tournament, and go back and listen to what he said in that press conference. He said, I don't know what I'm doing. I haven't talked to my agent. He's the one that talks to everybody, blah, blah, blah. It was basically more or less word for word. And that's kind of where I'm at with this thing. Like, all the arrows are pointing to one thing. And generally speaking, when there's that much smoke going in one direction, you tend to believe that's where the fire's coming from.
Yeah, that's where I'm at too. It's funny, just the folks I know at Maryland, throughout when he first started talking was like before their first game against Grand Canyon. That was kind of when he outed Damon Evans. And then it continued. And throughout that process, I was hearing, oh, he's going to stay. He's just pissed. And, dude, Maryland is a mess. Like, Willard has some very legitimate complaints, right? But that tone all changed this past week. And everybody that is wired into the program is telling me he's gone. But it just, you know, until it's done, it's not done. And maybe it's all just this crazy leverage play to get more out of all parties. I don't know, man. I know it's a mess.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
I'm not going to defend the way that he's gone about it. Like, if I'm Kevin Willard, like, just don't say anything.
Yeah.
Anything that you say, like, if you tell the truth, then everyone's going to get pissed at you because they're like, oh, he's leaving. He wants to get out of here. He doesn't want to be here. The season's not over yet, and he's trying to bounce, right? Well, if you lie about it, like, then they're going to call you out on the lies. Like, just don't answer the questions. Talk around it. Don't say what you got to say. There was the one thing in the press conference where they asked him a question about it, and he was like, yeah, you know, I'm worried about stopping Walter Clayton getting to his right hand because he shoots 38%, whatever it is. So just find ways to not have to talk about it. And honestly, find ways to kind of keep those leaks a little bit more in-house. Maybe that's something that would probably help if you could do this a little bit more quietly so there's not every single person that has a cell phone in on the Eastern Seaboard doesn't know what's going on with this kind of situation. Right?
Right.
Like, maybe have that conversation with the people that are hiring you. I think that probably would be a good way to go about doing this. But at the same time, if you're Kevin Willard and you're already frustrated with things that are happening there, and the guy that hired you is gone, and you don't know who your boss is going to be, and you have to make a decision this big, and you don't know how much money you're going to get from NIL stuff, and you don't know who you're going to be working for. Like, the coaching is, when you have an athletic director and I have a boss, and I think everybody can kind of relate to this, right? If you don't know who you're going to be working for, and you have another job offer on the table that is going to pay you more money or equal money or whatever it is, and you know who you're going to be working for there, and you know what the setup's going to be, and you know what your situation, and you know you're going to be given the resources that you need to thrive in that job, whether it's being a coach, whether it's being whatever, you know, a radio guy, whether it's being a podcaster.
Right.
You're probably going to go and head to the job where you know what you're walking into, as opposed to not like what you're leaving, where there's uncertainty.
Right.
So I understand it. I don't think he's handled it the best. I don't think he's quite wired to be the guy that is not going to be truthful in press conferences. Like, I think he's just one of these guys where what you see is what you get. Like, he's going to tell you how it is. And that probably has kind of, you know, bit him in the ass here. But I don't think that the fact that he is leaving Maryland is necessarily an indictment on him. I think that the timing has sucked, and I think that the way that he has handled this publicly has probably been less than ideal.
I totally agree with that. All right, let's zoom out here. We are talking with Rob Doster from the Field of 68 here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Duke looks like a wagon. Florida looks like a wagon. 2-1 seeds going tonight. Who's been the best team in this tournament to you?
Duke. I know it probably is going to get me kicked off the airwaves here.
I'm telling you, in the post-ACC world, my vitriol for Duke, and in the post-Coach K world, the life changes, man. You got to evolve.
Well, and I think a lot of people here in D.C. want Cooper Flagg here, so yeah. I think maybe that softens the blow a little as well.
I was having this conversation with someone last night. Like, normally when you have a white Duke star that is as good as Cooper Flagg is, everybody despises them, whether it's Grayson Allen or J.J. Redick or Bobby Hurley or Christian Laettner, or like John Shire. Like, you're supposed to hate that dude. And I don't think anybody hates him. And I think it's because there's no braggadociousness. I don't even know if that's a word. I might have just made that word up. But there's no cockiness. He's not out there running his mouth, people. He's not out there talking. I was about to curse. I didn't curse. There you go. I saved you your FCC fine. talking junk to the fans. He's not out there, you know, puffing out his chest. He's just out there playing hard and competing. He doesn't want any media attention. He doesn't do interviews, right? Like, we can get anybody we want on the Field of 68 at this point.
Right.
And Cooper Flagg is like, it's just kind of like a non-starter. You know, you can make the request, and the answer you'll get is just like LOL from their SID. He doesn't care about it. He doesn't want to do it. He just wants to go out there and hoop and compete. You know, there's a saying like be where your feet are, right? Something like that.
Oh yeah, Ron, we heard plenty of that. One. Yeah.
Yeah. So I might have butchered that quote. I got home at like 4 a.m. last night driving back from New York. It's been a long month of March, fellas. It's been a long month of March. I've had 4 cups of coffee today. I don't know if you can tell by how fast I'm going now, but Cooper Flagg, like, all he wants to do is compete in the moment that he's in. And I feel like there's people that actually enjoy that out of a player and love watching it. And I'll tell you this, man, I think he's the best prospect that I've seen in the 15 years that I've been doing this. I think he's going to be an unbelievable NBA player. I think he's going to be a first-team All-NBA guy at some point. And if you gave me the option of taking everybody from 2009 all the way through now in the draft, I think the only guy that came through college that I would consider taking over him when they were in college is maybe Anthony Davis. I take him over Zion. I take him over any of those guys. Maybe Anthony Davis. But he's that good. And remember, he's supposed to be a high school senior. Mm-hmm. He turned 18
That's
on
crazy.
December 21st.
That's
He's going to be the youngest guy. He might be the youngest player ever drafted. I got to research that. But if he was born 10 days later, if he was born January 1st instead of December 21st, he'd be ineligible for this draft.
Wow.
That's how close it is.
That's
how good he is. He's doing it at that young.
Hopefully he's here in D.C. That's what we're all hoping for.
Yeah, dude. Everybody's all in on that. Did you see that the Wiz scored 109 last night and lost by 50?
Hey, look, I'll tell you what. You're not going to be giving up 159 points if you put Cooper Flagg on that. I will tell you this. I'm not a conspiracy guy. Well, I am a little bit of a conspiracy guy. I'm connecting some dots, right? You got Greg Popovich done for the season. You got Wemby done for the season. You got De'Aaron Fox done for the season. And you got the San Antonio Spurs, who anytime that they need the number one pick in the draft, what do they get? The number one pick in the draft. You're going to tell me that he's not going to end up in San Antonio? Like, I feel like that's a guarantee.
Oh, that'll make
I don't want to break Wizards fans' hearts, but like he's like, it's going to happen, right?
Yeah,
that's
I hope not.
I really hope not.
real quick, Rob, curious, the talking line around this tournament has been the fact that there haven't been the upsets, and there was only one double-digit seed that made it to the Sweet 16. The lowest seed left is a 6 seed now at this point. Is that something that you see as a trend that's going to continue? Does it even matter? Like, what's your take on that?
2 years ago, when we had this, like, we had similar conversations, right? Because San Diego State was in the Final Four, and FAU was in the Final Four, and we were all worried about how, are we going to ever have the big boys back again? Like, is this just what college basketball is going to be? You know, is this a problem that we don't have big enough brands making it to the second weekend and making it to the Final Four? Mind you, that was a year after we had a Final Four that was Duke, Villanova, North Carolina, and Kansas, the first Final Four coming out of COVID in New Orleans, which was insane, by the way. And Now we're worried that we're having too many of the big boys making it. I think this is just a cyclical thing, guys. We had Oakland winning the game last year. We had NC State making the Final Four last year. Like, you're going to – there's going to be Cinderellas from everywhere. There's going to be crazy runs from everywhere. I don't think that this is going to stop mid-majors. I don't think that the transfer portal is going to turn this into a situation where it's nothing but the SEC moving forward. Now, the SEC is going to get a lot of teams. The Big Ten is going to get a lot of teams because the Pac-12 is gone, which means there's one less power conference, which means those teams have kind of matriculated into some of these bigger leagues. That's just natural. It's what it's going to be. But I think we're still going to have these mid-major darlings and these Cinderella runs. It's just it's what college basketball is, man. There's no way that that's going to stop. It's the soul of the game, man. It's the soul of the game. And I think it's better for the sport when you have those every once in a while, those things that you can kind of latch on to, like George Mason in 2006, mm-hmm. like VCU in 2011. Yeah. So you need that kind of stuff in this sport.
You got any upsets tonight, or you think it's fairly chalky?
I think the most – I don't know, does Kentucky beating Tennessee, does that count as an upset? I know they're a dog and they're the lower seed, but they beat Tennessee twice. Like, I think that's the one that has a real chance of happening. I don't see Purdue winning. I don't see Ole Miss beating Tom Izzo. It just feels like Tom Izzo's kind of this is the team that he gets to the Final Four because he always gets teams like this to the Final Four. Michigan against Auburn, that's the interesting one. Remember, Danny Wolf last year was at Yale when Yale knocked off Auburn when they were number four seed in the first round of the tournament. I don't think those Auburn guys have forgotten about that.
Hey, thank you for making time, brother. Get some sleep.
Thanks, Rob.
I'll try, man. You sleep in May, remember. That's what I was told by somebody.
Yeah, I've heard that before, and I'll be watching your Twitter. Let me know when the Willard thing's official. I can move forward with my life.
You'll be the first one. I'm not going to break the news. I'm just going to text you guys.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks, dude.
See you guys.
All right. That is Rob Doster from the Field of 68. That podcast is awesome, man. Check it out at Rob Doster, D-A-U-S-T-E-R. We got to talk some NFL. A veteran linebacker that went to DeMatha just hit the free agency market.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.